From the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. You know, we don't have a lot of guests on this show anymore because we only bring on people that we really feel have something meaningful and substantive to say. And Missy Hill has been a great researcher and a friend of ours for so long. I'm not even sure how to describe your own biography, Missy. So let's just go down the list here a little bit. For one thing, you are also a radio host. Tell us a bit about your show.
My show is on the internet. It's on Blog Talk Radio, and the name of the show is Galactic Earth Fusion. So if anybody wants to find it, first off, all you have to do is Google my name, Missy Hill Galactic Earth Fusion.
And your show has been on how long now?
A little bit over a year. I started in June of last year.
Okay. And also, Missy, you are a paranormal investigator. You do a lot of work with the third generation night vision technology. You've spent a lot of time at Brown Mountain. You've been on the Discovery Channel, right?
Yes.
You were one of the producers of an event. Was it last year when the event was held, or was it earlier this year? My dates are mixed up. You know the one I'm talking about?
No.
You've forgotten yourself. She does so much.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was.
Which event?
I was out of town, so I wasn't able to make it. The one that Mobius, he videotaped the whole thing.
Oh, that was last year. Star Knowledge.
Okay,
yes.
Star Knowledge.
Okay, yes.
See, that's when you know you're becoming accomplished, right?
Right.
You're
yeah. Like, well, I was not the producer. I was interviewing people there. Okay. Yeah.
You were there helping to orchestrate things.
Yes. Yes.
And you and your husband Ron were winners at one of the Speaking of Strange UFO experiences. You won our daytime UFO competition.
Yes.
Help me out. What am I forgetting about you, Missy?
I've got a bunch of cats.
She's another cat lady.
My cat Soda has been on TV. She's been
really.
Yes.
How did Soda get on TV?
It was on the Pet News Network. She was
okay.
On, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what'd they say about her?
Well, she was actually dressed up in a Halloween costume for when Pet Supplies used to do their Petaween.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Pet Supplies is a big part of Puppy Fest this year, so everything seems to come full circle.
Yeah.
Because years ago, I happened to be at the Petaween with Lauren, you know, promoting your books, and I remember the pictures. I was wearing the Chupacabra shirt, and mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was a big hit, actually. You know, for those who have no idea, Missy lives here in Western North Carolina, but she went on an expedition to Puerto Rico with me a couple weeks ago, and Missy, you wore the T-shirt that I produced years ago that says, I survived El Chupacabra, and it's got a big, crazy picture of a chupacabra on it, and it's kind of blood-spattered. And, you know, honestly, I don't think anybody has worn that shirt in Puerto Rico. They buy it, and they'll take it home. We got some pretty interesting reactions.
I got some weird looks. Let me tell you, people would look at me like they were fearful, and I could see the fear and the superstition. Like, they didn't like it too much.
Well, I tell you, on a side note here, I found out that about 10 years ago, in this very secluded town in the mountains in the middle of Puerto Rico, they were having a rash of these sort of blood-sucking situations where creatures of some kind were apparently acting vampirically and attacking cattle and goats and chickens. And a couple of little boys went into a construction zone and found the remains of a dead creature that looked very, very weird. And they went and got their dad, and the dad notified the authorities, and they got in touch with forensic people.
And to this day, nobody's been able to explain what this creature is. So they are claiming they have the body of a chupacabra of some kind. And so I'm in the process now of trying to track down this body. I would love nothing more than to get this body and be able to bring it to the museum, get some other scientists to analyze it. So as we speak, I have agents working in Puerto Rico to track this down. But this requires some real locals who speak Spanish and can really work their way around, because, you know, it's a weird, sensitive subject. And maybe I can post the picture at speakingofstrange.com and we can get some opinions on what this thing could be. So that said, now, well, as you know, you've been listening to this show. I've talked a lot about Puerto Rico, so there's no sense in going over the same stuff that everybody's heard a million times. But let's talk a little bit about some of your particular insights, because you have a gift. Would you ever refer to it as a curse, or is it always a gift, Missy?
It's a gift.
Okay. How would you describe this gift?
Well, there's a few different things that I do, or I say I'm on assignment to do, and this had to do with basically releasing souls that have been bound, which you call earthbound spirits, which can be bound in ritual from either black magic, you know, where somebody's had placed a curse on the land and required some kind of sacrifice, and people putting their energy to the land. I know a lot of times, you know, Native American cultures do this, and, you know, the Taino Indians, am I saying that right?
Taino
Indians, you know, are doing this from a different standpoint, where they believe what they're doing is good because they're in alignment with Mother Earth, and they want the earth to be protected. So I'm going to share with you the first thing that Ron and I did that wasn't part of the tour. We had our restaurant tour the first night with you after we left Isla Verde. Ron and I went to Isla Verde for a couple days to the Embassy Suites and just relaxed and, you know, went to the beach and the pool and all that kind of thing. And then, you know, we went over to San Juan. So the first day before this tour officially started, we ended up taking a walk to the beach. And there was a cemetery on the beach, and that's when my first assignment started, because I got the download. And the way this happens for me, it's not Missy, the personality of Missy doing anything. I watch it happening. So I could say it's remote viewing, but I'm not a remote viewer because I don't target things. I'm not looking for anything. This is like God's source or God's spirit coming through me for me to be able to see the architecture. I work with the unseen realms, which would be the architectural field, because everything has an architecture or a blueprint structure. We're physicality, but there's something more to us than the physical. There's a non-physical part of us, you know, that makes up our atoms and molecules and all this, and it goes to quarks, and I really don't know anything about quantum physics, but it goes way, way, way tiny and also big at the same time with the empty space and that sort of thing. So my first assignment was at this cemetery on the beach, and I was getting the download that there was souls that had been bound, but they had willingly bound themselves to the land until the land was able to protect itself. And I didn't have context for this, really, until I went to La Garita del Diablo, which is at the culmination, which I don't want to get into what that is, and I may get into a spiral here as far as when I start to talk about these things, because the culmination of the point of the point of the point of the Bermuda Triangle is crucial of why these spirits actually bound themselves, because Gaia is coming online. You know, the Earth is a multidimensional being herself. She is not just dirt. You know, it's the Earth is a living consciousness, and everything on it is conscious beings. And really what the Earth does not like, she doesn't like destruction, and she does not like war. She doesn't like people fighting each other for greed over resources and money and monetary enslavement and enslaving other humans. The Earth does not like that. So these beings were ready to move on and go home because they realize now that the energy of the Bermuda Triangle is coming online. This actually has something to do. Also, you hear a lot about Atlantis and the Atlantean timeline. So this is kind of bringing the good energy of Atlantis back. I mean, Atlantis is not so bad necessarily. It's the misuse of technology in any time is what is bad. I mean, technology is a good thing as long as we are conscious human beings. I mean, technology makes our life easier. You know, I like to have electricity, you know, I don't really want a smart meter in my house, and I don't want, you know, this some kind of weird device that, you know, actually radiates EMF. I don't know what they're doing now, but, you know, they're trying to change a lot of things. So that was the first place Ron and I went, and then after that we were watching this surfer catch waves, and that was kind of neat to do that. Then our tour officially started, and we went to some places, but
let me stop you for just a second,
okay?
Because there's so much information here.
I can envision
people listening like, what did she just say?
Yes.
You know? So let's just slow down just a second. Now, you went to a cemetery, and you sensed that there were beings, spirits, that were bound there.
Yes.
And Mother Earth does not want these spirits to be bound, right?
Right, but these beings willingly bound themselves until the Earth was ready to protect itself. This is the way I understood this when it was coming in. I'm like, okay, and it comes in, and then I have to, you know, make sense of the information as I get it. And then as I correlate the other places we went, it made sense to me that they were. It was fine for them to leave now because now the Earth can, it's going to be protected. It's not going to be a bad thing anymore. It's like the curse is being removed.
And when a person like you goes there who can sense this and you can download this, as you put it, you also can affect it at that point.
Yes.
Okay, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about what happens in your brain when you are interacting with these things that need to be changed, affected, released. And, of course, one of the best examples is the cave of Maria de la Cruz. And let's jump to that when we get back. And what happened when you went to this site and how you were able to affect what the spiritual atmosphere there was and how other people who are, let's say somebody's listening right now and that person believes, I'm cursed, or I've got a negative entity in my home, I've got some attachment. How can they learn from your technique in order to try to clean that area and free themselves? Folks, I'm talking right now with Missy Hill, and we're discussing this complex spirituality in the Bermuda Triangle. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Strange, and I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. We're talking about some spiritual topics this hour. And, you know, as a guy who has researched ghosts and spooky things for so long, if you have a conversation with someone about these topics and it goes on long enough, eventually it works its way around to some of the bigger questions. You know, is there an afterlife? And what is the role of humans and angels and demons and all these things? And so once in a while, I write a little about that sort of philosophical side of things. And I have a new free audiobook that you can listen to called The Oblivious Gods. It's just a short work that I produced so far. It's done very well. It's actually, you can buy a printed version if you want, and already people have done that in Australia and England and all over the U.S. Go to theobliviousgods.com. Or there is a link at joshuapwarren.com. And just listen to the free audio version. And, well, The Oblivious Gods refers to humans, actually. So keep that in mind as you listen to it. Missy Hill is in the studio with us tonight. Missy, what is the best website for you? I know we're working on some new stuff, but right now, how can people find you online?
Just Google my name, because I have been through it with web people.
Okay.
Not found the right web person yet.
Yes, I understand. Okay, well, so now there are a number of places in Puerto Rico that have creepy reputations. One of them is called the Cave of Maria de la Cruz in Loiza. And the interesting thing also about this cave is it's located a short distance from the town of Canavanas, which is where the first official chupacabra sighting ever was recorded. And in this cave, you will find evidence of ritualistic activity. You'll find rocks that are covered in candle drippings because they've been used as sacrificial altars. You'll find animal bones. And it's a magnificent looking place, but people usually get just a little spooked out when they go there. And as our expedition group approached this cave, you started to act very uneasy. Why is that?
I was physically getting sick where I felt I was going to throw up. I was feeling dizzy, off balance, just very, very sick. And it was weird coming into the town, even before we got to the cave, noticing that there was bars on the windows of where the people were living. It was a very, very impoverished town. So I was getting a weird feeling, not the sick feeling, but just a weird feeling of just, I call it the underground bunker feeling before we even got into where we were going.
And once we arrived at the cave, you didn't even walk into the cave before you had to run off and have some time to yourself.
Right? Yeah, I had to use the bathroom and things and drink some water because I felt very sick.
So tell me about what you felt as you walked into this cave. What was in there? And what did you know that you had to do about it?
Well, after I got my composure, you know, I had to put some water on my face because I was sweating profusely and feeling sick. And then I was able to ground myself and do some breathing. As soon as I went in there and stood around, I was just looking around and I saw the candle drippings and different things. And before I found that candle that I gave to you for the Mystery Museum, I was in all of a sudden in this space of seeing these dark beings in the ground, sort of like vampires. Okay, they're the beings that hold space for the dark. Okay, they're the acupuncture point for that area where they were put there. I'm not sure who put them there, but they actually didn't want to be there anymore, and people would keep doing rituals. See, what I got is there was a lot of, like, I guess there was not only ritual from the Taino Indians way back, but there was Santeria. And there's a lot of people that do ritual out of superstition, not even realizing they're doing it because it's the thing to do. Kids doing it, all different levels, animal sacrifices, you know, goats, so many different layers of consciousness doing this. What I was getting is that these beings were being held against their will. These dark vampires didn't want to be there anymore. So what ends up happening is that people keep reinforcing keeping them there when they keep doing rituals to them. So by me being there, I'm a acupuncture point for the light. All I have to do is show up on the grid with intention, and I say this is not the missy part of me doing this. I'm working with my Christed oversoul is what's coming through, is doing this work through me to clean up the land, to clean up the crystalline grids and the ley lines. So beings left. I got, there was, you know, different beings that had been, you know, animals that had been sacrificed, left. These dark vampiric beings were able to leave, and then anybody else, other ghosts that were bound in ritual, were able to leave. And I got it was peaceful, but I got that it's not going to stay clean because of the surrounding area that has a very dark energy where it feels like some kind of negative military thing, and we know there's military bases on that island. Three of them, am I correct? Three?
Oh, well, there are more than that. I'm not even sure. I mean, there are a lot of them that are secret, and, you know.
Yeah. Right, and I know years ago when we lived in Winder, Georgia, and Ron used to drive for a company where he would deliver oxygen, okay, or nitrogen or whatever, and he would deliver to different places. One time he had a delivery where he went to the Center of Disease Control. And he happened to, that night, I mean, he was walking around, probably maybe in places looking around or whatever. I don't know exactly what he was doing. But he came home, and I felt etheric bugs on his body. This is when we were living in our RV, and I felt something crawling on him that was something that I could actually see with my naked eye. I could see the energy form. I don't see auras the way you do with color, but what I do see is that there's a change in the energetic field. It's almost like if you look at a fog, you know, where the particles look different, like they look more dense in one area and then they look lighter in other areas. So there was this thing that was like undulating on his back when he was laying down that looked like some kind of etheric, creepy, crawly thing that I had to pray and remove this thing. And then he told me he had gone to the Center for Disease Control, and I'm like, I wonder what they're making there.
And when you went down into the catacombs underneath the Iglesia San Francisco, you actually collapsed on the way down there. What happened there?
Okay, I fell down the steps, and then I got this download that I had to leave while you guys were down there. And what I was getting and shown is I knew what the shenanigans were that were going on there. You know, this is a Catholic, I'm not knocking any religion, but in Catholicism, it shows Christ impaled on a cross. So what, looking at that is reinforcing our own being impaled, putting us down, crucifixion. I don't see that as a deliverance. Okay, so these beings that were there, it's the feeling of energetically what happens. You have to rob Peter to pay Paul, which means there's always a sacrifice on some level, and me having certain code or light body information, it was taken from me to for some reason, because I knew actually what was going on, that, you know, these healings that take place, some people get healed and then other people get robbed of their energy. So it might look like, say somebody has not had an initiation into what's called their soul body yet, they will be given energy where if somebody's working with higher dynamics, will be robbed to give the energy to somebody else because there's something called a glass ceiling. And the glass ceiling is like when one is playing ping pong, they can't get beyond a certain frequency fence is what you call it, if that's making any sense.
Okay, we got to go ahead and take a break there. And I think I see what you're saying, that if somebody's being healed, well, that energy is coming from somewhere. So you have energy vacuums as well as places where energy is being broadcast. And where do you fit when you go into this tunnel of energy? I'm Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back. Conversation, you're probably going to have a very distinct reaction. You're going to say, I don't understand any of this. Or you're going to say, wow, somebody finally captured it. Because during the break here, Missy Hill and I were talking about the fact that in this thing called the paranormal world, we are sort of dealing with the largest, most complex subjects known to humankind. And to capture some of this stuff in words is a challenge. And one of the things that I think Missy Hill is good at is being able to take extremely multifaceted concepts and sort of flesh them all out. And you have to keep up with it. But if you do, you will see that the dots are connecting quite well. And one of the reasons that I think Missy is perfectly suited for this medium of radio is that we're often very consumed by topics of the day, pop culture. And, you know, when you see a news story or you hear something on the radio about what some celebrity has done, there is a whole batch of people out there all over the internet, in media land, giving their opinions. And people like to gossip, and they like to talk about that, and they like to explore it. But what you find is that, really, everybody's kind of sort of saying the same thing. Well, Missy Hill has a truly new, fresh approach to the topics of the day. And that's why we call her Miss Pop Culture Conspiracy. And when we were down in Puerto Rico, Missy, somehow or other, the topic of Miley Cyrus came up, because Miley Cyrus, the 20-year-old singer who was a Disney star, daughter of Billy Ray Cyrus, she was making some controversial headlines at the time because that she went to the Video Music Awards and stripped down half naked and was acting really bizarre and crazy, and a lot of parents were very offended, that sort of thing. Now, the average person would say, oh my goodness, look at her, she's a lost child, she's searching for attention, she's trying to become a sex symbol, she's out of control. You, on the other hand, you said, wow, it's obvious what's happening here. she's being mind controlled by MK Ultra and the government, right?
Yes, and Project Monarch.
So, okay, explain to me what your perspective is on Miley Cyrus.
Okay, first what I want to say is we're going to work on, while I'm here, distilling the information down. And when people get to know my energy signature and know me, then what I say will make sense to them because our language actually carries codes. So I just want to put that into the energetic field. Okay, what the mind control program is designed to do is create what's called alter or split personality, and they do this through trauma-based mind control. I believe it was MKUltra was founded by the CIA, and then later Project Monarch, especially for Hollywood. The reason I got into this is because I seem to see a common theme when I would look at certain things like, you know, Madonna and watching her, or Britney Spears and her shaving her head and say that she shaved her head because she was mind controlled by MKUltra. She actually said that. You see the tattoos of the butterfly, or you look at the movie Eyes Wide Shut, and there's commentary on that and why in the store when Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman are in the store, why is all these tiger cats? Because that's programming the sex kitten. There's all these different themes of how they want to program somebody. So when I saw that, all I had to do was hear the story, and I got the energy signature because of the fact that she was a Mouseketeer, and Disney has been programming children with all kinds of bizarre things. I mean, look at the subliminal messages with Disney.
Right.
So I just, it's kind of like one of those things, like when I was in the cave, I get the download, I see it, it's the same thing with that. It's just seeing it. It's like when I have to decode movies, I see, well, why is there a theme where there's always a room that has gold goblets and gold coins? Or why am I directed to see all these movies that always have some kind of portal opening in the sky for, you know, bringing UFOs and this otherworldly battle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a synchronistic thing that I tend to maybe draw these movies in, I don't know if it's randomly or whatever, for me to see the bigger picture of connecting dots and that there is something going on in Hollywood. I mean, look at different things like the death of Marilyn Monroe, say, or the death of John Lennon, or even War of the Worlds.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there was a fellow on our expedition, and I won't give his name out without his permission, but he said that when you really start looking throughout history at these people who were innovative, groundbreaking thinkers or talents, and you realize how many of them died young, it doesn't matter if you're talking about, you know, Bob Marley or Jimi Hendrix or Elvis, or, you know, you go down the list, okay? Marilyn Monroe just goes on and on and on. Sometimes they die presumably because of their own excesses, because they become drug addicts or whatever. If not, many of them die from cancer. A lot of them die in what seem to be freak accidents, you know, various airplane crashes and that sort of thing. But there are so many of these iconic figures that died young. He was musing, you know, is it possible there's some island out there where they all live? It's like you get successful enough to, you're like, screw this life, and they all fake their deaths or something, and there's some island of, you know, really talented, cool people out there. And that's a funny idea, but do you feel that there is some pattern among all of these people who end up in an early grave and become icons because of it?
Well, Kurt Cobain and John Lennon, I have heard through the whisper down the lane, whether this is true, knew about 9/11 before it happened. And, you know, we just had 9/11. So is that true? Who knows, you know? It's just uncanny. And then with Marilyn Monroe and her connections to JFK, we don't know for sure. Now, the Beatles, this is really an interesting one, the one I've been looking at this year. The so-called supposed death of Paul McCartney. Did Paul McCartney die and they replaced him with The Fall, you know, which is Billy Shears? And what's weird is if you look at all the Beatles albums, it has, you know, different things. And if you play it backwards, it talks about burying Paul. I mean, this is just really, really bizarre, you know, things. And then if you look at the pictures, they've made it where Paul... And the Paul from before the certain date, which I think was 1966, I think. It's either 66 or 67. I'd have to look it up again. Sometimes the chin looks different, but, I mean, I'm not necessarily convinced because you'd really have to do voice analysis. But it seems like no matter what goes on, they can cover, you know, whoever the they is. There's so many different theys. I can't point a finger at any one they. They can cover up the mess. Like if something happens like that where they change out Paul McCartney, say, because Paul McCartney and John Lennon get in a fight one night, he gets a little bit drunk and then he goes off and has an accident. Well, guess what? The fans were so crazy for the Beatles that they loved Paul so much they'd go out and kill themselves. I mean, that's how insane it is. So maybe the intention was... And then I've heard this, that maybe Paul didn't die, but he was disfigured, so they had to have a new Paul McCartney step in that won the talent show, and he was actually more talented than the other Paul McCartney. But John Lennon, it's like he felt so guilty that he had to put all these different codes in the songs, you know, and a lot of it's called like jabberwocking, where... He was also very into Lewis Carroll of Alice in Wonderland and into this whole psychedelic, you know. Also, they went to India, you know, the Maharishi thing and all that stuff, and probably a little help from some of substances or whatever. And
we're coming up on a break here, but, you know, the interesting thing is a lot of people think of mind control. And they envision some type of secret beam that's being fired into somebody's head and turns them into a puppet. But in reality, the mind control that surrounds us every day is what you see on television. It's what you hear on the radio. It's Definitely. What you read on the internet. That's the real mind control. And that's why, to some people, these dots that you're connecting may sound ridiculous. But what if, just think, folks, what if it's true? I mean, what if... Walt Disney is somehow orchestrating these characters and these images that affect our youth to create some type of a developmental outcome for the next generation that has a nefarious underbelly. Just imagine if that's actually true. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this hour up by talking with Missy Hill about subliminal messages in general. What are you really experiencing when you see logos and mascots and iconography and advertising around you every day? Do you even know how it's affecting you? I'm Josh Whoopi Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Doing what I'm doing. lights, designed to enlighten me. When I find that I'm doing fine watching shadows on the wall, don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball.
Final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. That's when we talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. In the studio with me is Missy Hill. And she is known as the pop culture conspiracy aficionado worldwide. And, you know, it's funny because if you look all throughout the history of magic, the history of secret societies, communication is done by symbols. And that's because either the symbols make an impact on people subliminally that even that person may not fully be aware of, or because it's a very easy secret language. I mean, obviously, let's say you and I, Missy, are members of a secret society. We can't just come right out and have a conversation in front of other people about our secrets. But if we agree in advance that this symbol means this and this symbol means that, then we can effectively communicate with each other all the time, right in front of everybody else. And they don't know that we're doing that. And it seems like many, many logos and mascots for big companies and government organizations incorporate this. We've only got a few minutes left, but I have seen you again and again look very carefully at advertising, at family crests, at, you know, government logos. Give us your opinion on what is being sort of included in these designs.
Okay, I'm going to try to just distill this down and pick one symbol, because this is the one that I've noticed the most everywhere. It's called the fleur-de-lis. It's Charlemagne's coat of arms. Supposedly, it's a Christian symbol, and it has to do with the lily, but it's the point that's the three prongs are pointing up, which is the masculine, where if it was pointing down, it would be the feminine. It's not that this is just in New Orleans or St. Louis or somewhere that's a French town. It's in Gatlinburg. They put it on everything, and it represents something more because it's a symbol. It's actually a symbol of war. People think, oh, it's a pretty symbol, fleur-de-lis. You know, it's the flower, right? But no. And then I was noticing that in Puerto Rico, too, all these different things with family, you know, with the family crest coat of arms. It seems like this was really kicked up around the time the royal baby was born. That, I mean, I just tend to see these things in patterns, but I'm like, why is this in Gatlinburg? Why is this every store you go in, this symbol has made a comeback? So that's just an example of one. And why is it that, you know, cars have the names of, you know, certain, you know, Greek gods or whatever it could be. The problem is that humanity doesn't know what's being done to them, because it's all based on the subconscious. It's not anything they're conscious of, because guess what? Humanity is told that they're not allowed to look at the occult teachings, and yet the people that run everything know all this stuff. You know, occult means hidden. It's been demonized, okay? And the masses only get the peon of information. They don't get to know what's really going on, the blueprint. They don't get to know that the checkerboard has to do with duality. You know, the left and right hemispheres of the brain is what the checkerboard is. And why is the checkerboard floor in movies? I mean, why do they have to flash the checkerboard floor? Well, that is part of that Project Monarch programming again, because on a higher level, we all know what's going on, okay? Our spiritual self knows the deal of what's really going on, but the personality is not participating with those other aspects of the higher self. Most people are letting their personality just rule them. You know, they got to go to work. They got to put food on the table. They're exhausted, and they kick back in front of the TV. You know, that's the way most people live. They're not thinking about this stuff. They're not looking deep at reality and what makes up their reality and what makes up how they're programmed and what they think. I mean, you talk about in your newest book, Oblivious Gods, about, you know, advertising and how there's psychologists that actually, you know, program. I mean, they look for how, if somebody's going to turn left or right here or there. You know, it's almost as if they know what somebody's going to do because they'll put a certain color somewhere and they know how you're going to react. I've heard it where they can figure out a person can walk into a store. They can target that person and they can know exactly what that person's going to buy before they buy it.
Okay, we're up on a break. Are you going to be able to stick around for the next hour?
Yes.
Okay, great. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour. And we will have, I'm sure, plenty of interesting perspectives tonight on some of the more outrageous and controversial stuff in the news that maybe you don't hear so much about in the mainstream media. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, manipulating your subconsciousness every weekend. It's called Speaking of Strange.